This is Morgan Michael, welcoming you to Kindsight 101, the podcast, where you'll hear from world-renowned educational leaders about the mobilizing power of kindness, together by challenging our assumptions and venturing beyond the status quo in education. We can make a big impact, one small act at a time.
My purpose in doing that is that I realize that children, they deal with so much at home that's beyond their control. And I believe that the foundation to any given lesson is through love and human interaction. My philosophy is you have to be able to catch the fish before you can actually clean the fish. And I think the problem is many educators are trying to clean a fish that they haven't even caught yet.
I am super excited about this interview with David J, aka the Dope Educator, who is a fifth grade education rock star from Memphis, Tennessee. The 32-year-old started gaining the attention of the masses, including Access Hollywood, Good Morning America, and top podcasts for his groundbreaking approaches to creating relationship with his students, and most notably by memorizing each and every one of the secret handshakes created by his 75 students. A relatively new teacher, David knows that relationships are the key to education, and has made it his mission to inspire educators everywhere to take a page out of his book. You will come away from this interview inspired to bring even more heart, passion, and love into your own classroom as we talk about the one thing you need to gain enrollment from even your toughest to teach, how words of affirmation can change the game, how we can embrace the power of will over skill, and how teaching the small things makes an incredible difference. He also touches on the one question you need to ask your students when it comes to creating a vision for themselves. You can follow David J at The Dope Educator on all the socials. Can't wait to hear more about what you take away from this episode. And you can follow me at Small Act Big Impact on Instagram and Facebook. And on Twitter, I'm SABI21Days. And please feel free to reach out anytime. I'm also on LinkedIn at Morgan Michael. Can't wait to hear from you. David J, I was super, super impressed by the way that you were able to be authentic and create and build connection with your students. And you did it through a really unique way. I saw your video about the handshakes, and right away I could tell that you were a unique and very remarkable educator. Can you tell me a little bit about the handshakes, what they mean, and how significant they are in terms of creating culture in your classroom?
Oh, definitely. On the first day of school, I told each and every student, I told them that I would have a prize for the person who could create the best handshake. So by doing that, that really made the children be very creative with creating the different handshakes by me incentivizing the kids for actually coming up with the particular handshake. My purpose in doing that is that I realize that children, they deal with so much at home that's beyond their control. And I believe that the foundation to any given lesson is through love and human interaction. Mm. I feel that students, they deal with so much. And my philosophy is you have to be able to catch the fish before you can actually clean the fish. And I think the problem is many educators are trying to clean a fish that they haven't even caught yet. We must understand that children, they deal with so much. You know, some kids, they don't have running water. Some kids, they may not have lights at home. And that may not be every child's experience, but at the school that I'm at, you know, I teach at an economically disadvantaged school. So I deal with that a lot. And I realize that you have to motivate these kids. So that's why I do what I do. That's why I memorize 75 different handshakes, because I want to motivate each child and to make sure that each child knows that every day when they come to my class that they are going on a vacation. That's why I call my classroom the escape room, because I want to create an atmosphere each and every time that the child comes, they forget about any problem that they had to deal with the night before.
Wow, that's amazing. I haven't heard you say that before, and I like that. I like the concept of you creating a safe space that's completely different from their background. And first of all,
I have to ask how you have the capacity to remember all those handshakes, like what system you use. And then after that, I want to dive in to some of the underlying stuff, the important stuff, the character building and the team building that you do. Because I've seen other videos and it's pretty remarkable. So how do you remember that?
You know what? Every day when I get up, I brush my teeth, I wash my face, brush my hair. That's a part of my everyday routine, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I never walk out the house without brushing my teeth. I never walk out the house without washing my face because I realize that those things are important to me. And I memorize things that are important to me. So that just goes to say that these kids, they are important to me. Building relationships with kids, that's like brushing my teeth every morning when I wake up. I realize that kids, they need to feel loved. They need to feel appreciated. So I memorize that because it's important to me. And one thing that has helped me to memorize those handshakes is just keeping a simple count, a simple 1, 2, 3 count. Some kids, they will often add to the handshake daily. But I try to let the kid know that we can't keep adding on to it. You know, I'm trying to perfect it, keep it down packed, but you always have kids that want to add more to it. But I was blessed with the great memory, and I just try to memorize things that are important to me. And kids, they are important. Better relationships, they are important. So I memorize those things because I realize that that's the most important thing to make every child feel loved.
Love it. And I know that you do something special with remembering names as well. So you go,
yes.
My understanding is you go from group to group. And so you'll, and then you'll come back and you'll repeat the names. Like say, for example, you start with group one and say there's a table group with like four kids. You'll learn all of their names and then you'll move on to group two. Then you'll come back to group one and repeat group one, then go on to group two. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes, definitely. Every year, not only do I memorize handshakes, I also do the same thing with names. You would be surprised how many teachers don't even know a student's name. Mm. You would be surprised how many teachers actually mess up on students' name. So I send a direct message on the first day of school by memorizing each child's name. And how I go about doing that is I start with one group. I have each person in that group to stand up, introduce themselves. After they do that, I will repeat each and every student name. So I'll go from group to group until I have repeated each child name. And the more I repeat each child name, it seems like the more I memorize the student's name. So that works for me, you know, just regurgitating. So the more I do it, the more it sticks with me, you know? So that's definitely a strategy that I would suggest for any teacher. Just repeat the names. You know, the more we repeat things, the more we say it, the more it sticks with us.
Absolutely. And I know you teach something around like 75 kids per day because you do rotations, right? And so I just think, wow, that's amazing. And you know what else, you know, kind of hits me right now is you are modeling what it looks like for their teacher to be engaging in learning. And I think that that's risky and it's difficult. And there are many educators who would not do that in front of their students. But what you do is you're modeling that. And it sounds like just by doing that, you create this safe space where we're all learners, we're all teachers, and here I am on the very first day exemplifying that. And I think that that definitely deserves a pat on the back. I feel like that little interruption was kind of destined, right? It's like, that's kind of a metaphor for where you're at right now. You're doing
You are exactly right. You are exactly right. Things are taking off pretty fast for me. The thing is this, with me doing this, I never expected, you know, the attention. I was simply doing this because I want to inspire teachers just to build relationships with kids. I want to inspire educators to move beyond the script to reach that child's heart. We have to understand, you know, that a student can perfect an ACT score, but then a student can possibly still fail in life. I have met people that have perfected ACT scores, right? I have met people that were salutatorians, valedictorians, you know, in high school, but then in life, the vicissitudes of life caught them off guard, you know, mm-hmm. because they were not prepared for life. And they didn't have the role models that they needed. They didn't have people that emulated those morals and values. So it's our job as educators to instill them in them those morals and values. And in order for us to take off to that next level, we have to make sure that we are doing our part. And so that's why I believe that things are taking off for me, because my reason or my motive behind doing what I do was the foundation was based on building relationships with kids and inspiring educators to build those same relationships.
I love that. And I think about where you're teaching and the fact that my understanding, just from the little bit of digging that I've been doing about you, is that part of the magic is that you actually have experience as a child who was, quote, sort of a problem child, right? So you understand what it's like to feel outside or to feel like, I believe you were kicked out of school, suspended, you know, did some things that were perhaps, like, from a teacher standpoint, really challenging behaviors, right? And the fact that you have been able to articulate your story, to talk about that, to understand, you know, the role of your parents' divorce and all of that in how you were feeling angry, does it help you to be a better teacher to those kids who struggle, to be that solid adult in their life, that mentor?
Of course, because when I look at those kids or when I look at that particular child, I see me, you know, I see a reflection of who I once was. You know, I see the little boy that was often misunderstood, not because he was a bad kid, but because he didn't have educators in place that could understand his silence. Mm. They couldn't understand why I was acting out of school, but they also didn't know that I was growing up in a household without a father figure, because my mother and father had just the divorced. So my acting now was a way of me expressing my anger, you know? And so now I understand that many students that I interact with daily, they come from single parent households. Many of those same kids, they have never seen a great example of role models, right? So that pushes me to be the educator that I needed growing up, you know?
I do, that yeah. And I think a lot of us educators, I mean, I feel like we fall into two camps. There are the educators who were inspired by a particular educator and then we followed in those footsteps. And then there are other educators who became teachers because they wanted to be that teacher that they never had. Tell me about, I believe you have like a college trainer who basically like spoke future for you. Can you talk a little bit about that relationship and how he inspires you to be the kind of teacher that you are, educator?
Yes, yes. When I was in college, I met a guy by the name of Robert Payne Sr. He pretty much was like a father figure that I never had, that father figure that I always wanted. He stepped in just the right time when I was going through life, when I was confused. You know, I didn't really know which route that I wanted to take, but he invested in me. And every day he would speak life into me. And now I understand the power of words, because even when I was confused, he would still tell me that, David, you're destined for greatness. David, you're going to speak to millions one day. David, I see you doing great things. Even when I didn't understand what was going on in life, he would still tell me, David, you're in a good place. But I'm homeless. But David, you're in a good place right now. But I don't know my next. But David, you're in a good place. But so his words and his presence, it kept me. Those words kept me. So that's why I have my students to say words of affirmation. That's why we say every day that I am great. I am a leader. I am beautiful. I am wonderful. I can be anything I want to be. I am me. Because the more you say something and the more you hear those words, you eventually start to believe those things. So Mr. Robert Payne, he emulated those morals and values that I needed. And he came in at the right time. And he helped to motivate me to reach out to another person that was just like me, to identify with another David that's confused, that don't really know why he's going through what he's going through, to let him know that he's still destined for greatness.
That's so powerful, like really powerful. And I take that and I, what do you say to those kids? Because you teach grade 5 at Hickory Elementary, is that correct? And what do you say to those kids, maybe kids like you who felt like they had to put their armor up and they had to kind of respond to you in a really tough way? When you first say, we're gonna do these words of affirmation, do you ever get like the arms folded, like, I'm not doing that? And, you know, from those kids, like, what do you say to those kids who need to hear that message from you? How do you frame it? What do you say to them?
Oh, that's a very, very good question. Basically, you have to model the way for the child. First of all, you have to explain to the child why we're doing what we're doing. And the thing that has kept me the most is setting that the expectation and the standard from day one. If you set the standard and expectation from day one, the children would know what to stand on. The children will follow your lead. But the thing is, I can't start off by saying we're going to do words of affirmation and skip the next 2 days and then come back and say, well, you know what, next week we'll do words of affirmation. One day we'll do the handshakes. The next day we'll know. We have to stay consistent in doing what we are doing with children. So on the first day, you know, of course, I maybe had, I guess, a couple of students that, you know, were standing still while everyone else was doing the words of affirmation. But once I began to explain to the child, this is why we're doing what we're doing. We do words of affirmation because I want to remind you that in life, there will be times where you may feel like that you're not good enough. In life, there may be times when you have to experience what Mr. Jameson had to experience with teachers telling him that he's a bad kid, that he would probably end up there in jail. But the purpose of me doing this is to remind you that Mr. Jameson thinks that you are amazing, that Mr. Jameson thinks that you are great. Mr. Jameson thinks this about you. So the more that you say this daily, it's going to remind you of the fullest potential that you can reach in life. Wow. So we have to stay consistent at doing what we are doing.
That's amazing.
But you have to lay that foundation from day one.
Absolutely. And I think, man, really inspirational, because I think people will see the videos. Because, I mean, you have also this Hall of Fame video where your kids are singing this song and they're all in a circle and you've got moves to it and they're all engaged and they are like, they are singing their hearts out and you're together and you do a cheer and it's super powerful. Again, it gave me chills and I thought, wow. But there will be teachers who look at that and educators who see perfection and will see, like, you just have it. There's something different inherently about you that make you capable of doing this, which, I mean, like, definitely you've got charisma on your side for sure. But I think, really, this is not, it's not like you just snapped your fingers and decided to do this. Like, there's work behind this. I think educators need to hear that piece. So thank you for kind of pulling the curtain aside and just telling us that. Because I think, yeah, I think that's an important piece. Quite often we have this sense that people are just inherently good at stuff and right. that we could never do that, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
You are exactly right. And the thing is this, I am a novice teacher. You know, this is only my third year teaching, you know, and I may not be the best teacher in the building. I like to think I am, but I may not be the best teacher in the building, right? But I guarantee you that I have those kids. I have those kids hooked. And the relationships that I have with those kids allows me to outteach anybody in that building because I understand relationships. And not everyone understands relationships, because you can be a great teacher and not have that relationship with the child. So then it's a will versus skill, right?
Mm-hmm.
Will versus skill. So now you can coach a person that's willing to learn, right? That's willing to build those relationships with kids, but then you may have teachers that are stuck in their ways and want to stick directly to that curriculum. Mm-hmm. But times have changed, right? And not only have times changed, I think things really has always been the same. But the thing is, we have forgotten the most important thing, which is building relationships. And you can teach a child anything in the world if that child can trust you. Mm-hmm. If that child knows that you are on his or her side, they will go to the moon and back for you, and they will master any given standard. And I say this from experience, right? Because this is actually my first year teaching ELA, language arts, right?
Yeah.
So my first 2 years, I taught writing and grammar. So this is my first year teaching ELA. And when we got the results back from the mock assessments for the 10 Ready, you know, my kids outperform almost everybody in the building.
Whoa, that's amazing.
Yes, and I don't say that because I'm bragging. I say that because I'm a novice teacher. It's my first year teaching ELA, and the relationships that I build with students enables me to move students. So you can have you can memorize every standard in the book, But if you don't understand the importance of relationship, you are missing it.
Mm-hmm. I 100% agree. I just love that the data backs it up, actually, because I think we know this in our hearts, and then sometimes we betray ourselves thinking that maybe sticking more to the curricular guideposts, or I know in right. the United States, I'm based in Canada, but in the United States, I know that standardized testing is a huge component of what fills your day, right? As preparing students for the test. And so it's really great to hear that actually the relationships really truly do build a foundation toward that academic achievement, which I mean, we're all trying to push our kids forward. That's important, but it's great to hear that is actually happening. And yeah. I know that another piece that you really hold dear is appearance, actually. And I know, like, you have certain days where you encourage kids to dress up. And I know I interviewed Principal Kefele. I don't know if you know Principal Baruta Kefele, but he talks about the fact that is like a superficial thing that actually has a very deep rippling effect for kids, especially if they are coming from a difficult socioeconomic background. Can you talk a little bit about the importance of taking pride in appearance and that role as an educator, like bringing that to the forefront?
Oh, yes, definitely. When a person see you, right, the first thing that a person sees is your appearance. So your appearance is the first thing that gets the person attention, right? So it's almost like a commercial. Your dress code is your personal commercial. When a person see you every day, when they, if you're in a store and you walk past a person, the person's dress code is actually sending a direct message, a personal commercial. But the question then remains, what are we advertising? Mm-hmm. When we are in class on Tuesdays, And Wednesdays, I encourage, you know, the boys to wear ties. We call that ties for Tuesdays. We're trying to prepare our students for life. You know, we have to keep in mind that appearance is so important, and we have to educate kids also on how to dress for an interview. You would be surprised how many adults today, they miss it. They don't get the job because of their approach when it comes to appearance. Mm-hmm. And it's not often in the area that I teach in that you often see people around my age range. I'm 32 years old, and it's not often that you actually see people that actually wear suits and ties, mm-hmm. right? Most of the people in my area, you know, they wear their pants sagging below the waist because it's just the area that I live in or the area that I grew up in. So you still see those things because people have not been exposed to anything mm-hmm. different. So when I left and I moved away and I came back, you know, I was exposed to an entire different life. And when I got into teaching, I realized the importance of exposing our kids to appearance. Mm-hmm. Some of them would never know the importance of appearance because they have never received any exposure or saw anything different. So your environment, it plays a part in teaching you the things that you know. But what if you are growing up in a corrupt environment, mm-hmm. then what, right? So if your environment is supposed to teach you, what if the environment is corrupt? So that's why you have many kids that's walking around with their pants sagging because their environment is corrupt. I was born in Memphis, right? So I grew up in Mississippi. I went to college in Jackson, Mississippi. So when I say I moved away, I was pretty much going to attend college in Jackson, Mississippi. After I left Jackson, that's when I actually moved out of state to Atlanta.
Oh, you moved to Atlanta. And you went to go be, like, you were working as a banker. I think you've yes. done some work in acting. You've done retail. So you've got a really broad background in terms of your background. You kind of like lived a different life before you came to teaching. What do you think is the importance of bringing outside experience to the education game? Like, what's your experience on that and your perspective on that?
Well, my experience on that is to let the kids know that there are different routes that we can take in life, you know, to also let kids know that, hey, you know, you may not go to college, right? But there are other ways that you can actually still be successful in life. Because we may have some kids that, you know, they may not go to a four-year college, but I have seen many successful people that had their own barbershops, beauty salons. You know, there are people that have been very successful in banking, that may not have had a college degree. So it's not to, you know, speak down on anyone that's probably that, you know, may not ever go to college. But we have to keep in mind that I don't want to say this, but, you know, oftentimes we say that college is not for everyone, you know, and I really don't want to go far as to saying that. You know, but I do believe that there are different routes that we can take in life. And I think that it's very important to expose kids to different avenues.
Definitely.
That we can
Yeah, definitely. And I think I would agree with that. I think sometimes the institution of universities or college have their purpose for sure. But if it doesn't mean that simply because you don't go that route that you're not learning. There are plenty of entrepreneurs who are very, very, very successful who have not gone to college or university. And so I think it's about keeping your mind open and then sparking that whole lifelong learning thing and really encouraging kids to find their curiosity and follow that and step into the potential of who they can really be, right? So Before we jump into the rapid fire questions, there's only three. I do want to talk a little bit about what's in the future for you. I know that you are serving kids on a, you know, daily basis through your leadership, that you obviously are inspiring now probably hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people across the world in terms of how you are approaching building relationships. I know that you are going to be interviewed by Access Hollywood, or if you haven't been already. So what do you see for your future, and how do you think you might sort of use your, I guess, popularity, but I'd also say really the way that you've been able to spark connection, because it's deeper than just people liking you. I think it's, you've got this incredible gift for inspiration. I've just heard it through this whole conversation and I feel inspired by you. So what's next for David J?
Oh, well, you know what? I am overwhelmed. I am blessed by all of the opportunities. I was recently featured on Access Hollywood, Good Morning America, on all the local news stations from here to Canada. You know, so it's been very heartwarming for, you know, my heart is gratified. But I definitely want to continue just to inspire teachers on the importance of building relationships. So I can definitely see myself doing workshops across the nation on inspiring teachers to build their relationships and the importance on building culture. You know, I think those are the two most important things that's going to lay the foundation to maximizing the fullest potential of each and every child. So I can definitely see myself doing that. I have already been, well, have gotten a lot of opportunities for this year already. So my schedule is really booking up pretty fast. I will be doing a conference on April the 4th at Ole Miss. I'm actually trying to finish a deal now with the conference in North Carolina. So I should be there soon as well. So more speaking engagements for me. I'm in the process of launching my line, the Dope Educator line. So it's going to be a t-shirt line for teachers that's going to be very inspirational. So I'm in the process of doing that. So just pretty much just launching my speaking engagements and just inspiring the world on a bigger platform.
Awesome. And I can't wait to see what that journey brings, because I can see it, I can feel it, and it's really, really exciting. So thank you for bringing your gifts to the world. We need it.
Thank you so much.
So rapid fire, in a few words or less, answer the following three questions if you can. What does kindness mean to you?
Love and belonging. Mm.
What one skill does an educator need to lead with in order to be effective?
Build the relationships.
What is one message or quote that you could print on one of those quote cups that could be sold in bookstores around the world?
Oh, this is tough because so much is coming.
Well, you're doing a t-shirt line, so you're probably just jammed with all the ideas.
Yes. But if I can put one quote, don't miss the gift because your focus on the package is wrapped in.
That is so brilliant. David J, the Dope Educator, thank you so, so much for joining me on Kindsight 101 today. Can you let folks know where they can find you online and otherwise?
Yes, thank you so much for having me on all outlets. You can find me at The Dope Educator on Twitter, The Dope Educator, on Instagram, The Dope Educator. So on all outlets at The Dope Educator.
I want to thank you for the wonderful reviews that you've left for this podcast on iTunes. Your reviews make a big difference in helping other educators find this show. If you think that I'm doing good work here and you'd like others to get inspired and join our 21-day kindness challenge and movement, I'd love it if you would take a minute, head over to iTunes, and leave a review. Thank you so much. This has been another episode of Kindsight 101, the podcast. For links to resources mentioned in this episode, visit smallactbigimpact.com and click on our podcast and choose this episode number.
Now, I'd love to give my audience a heads up about my new book, which will provide ideas, actionable strategies, and inquiry-based approaches to creating kinder classroom through serving the community. Subscribe to my blog for more information. Now, I would love to hear from you. What's the biggest insight that you gain from this conversation? Head over to our website, smallactbigimpact.com, leave a comment on our podcast page, or tag and connect with us on social media with the hashtag #SmallActBigImpact to share your inspiring story of kindness. Can't wait to hear from you.